From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and to prisons. They will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand. For I myself shall give you wisdom in speaking that all of your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will be handed over even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This month of November, Church not only has us pray for our faithful departed, has us remember the whole purpose of our life, which is sanctity, but the Church gives us what we might call our continuing formation course in how to live our faith at all times, even and especially when it's hard, when it's against the grain. So as we finish this month, the Church gives us Jesus' words at the end of his journey to Jerusalem, right before the days of his passion, in which he's describing to us how to persevere until the end. He tells us straight out words that the martyrs have recognized throughout the centuries as having been fulfilled in their own time. They will seize and persecute you, hand you over to synagogues, prisons, lead you before governors and kings because of my name. He wanted us to know that we will, not just may, but will eventually suffer for the faith. We will suffer for it before religious leaders. We will suffer for it before civil leaders. We will suffer because of Jesus' name, because of our fidelity, because they find him a threat, and anyone who really seeks to live in his kingdom threatening. But Jesus says this is all part of his plan. He permits it so that we can fulfill the Great Commission. It will lead to your giving testimony, he says, your witness, that the way that we suffer together with Christ is the greatest preaching of our life. Persecution is a pulpit, and we have a chance, really, to give him glory. He wants us in those moments to be dependent on him, not on ourselves. That's why he says, don't prepare your defense beforehand, because he really wants us open to the way that God is going to lead us at that moment. The Holy Spirit will be there with all of his gifts. I will give you wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist and refute. Haven't we seen this over the course of time with Ignatius of Antioch, with Polycarp, with Thomas More, Stanley Rother? Some of the times the cuts will be deep. You'll be handed over, betrayed is that word in Greek, by parents, brothers, relatives, friends. And they, not just others after the betrayal, but they will put some of you to death. Hard, but sometimes it is hard to relativize our love for our family members and our friends so that we can make the love of God supreme. But God, out of his love, will give us that opportunity. And sometimes he will make putting him first a little easier as we are betrayed by those who might take God's place so that we can, in fact, accentuate the Lord as he wants. He summarizes all of this by saying, we will be hated, not just by one or two persecutors, the Alexander the coppersmiths, if you remember him from Ephesus, who tried to make St. Paul's life miserable. We'll all have Alexander the coppersmiths. But Jesus goes beyond it. You'll be hated by all because of my name. So we should always give thanks when we're not hated by all. Not a, in words that are always consoling to me, not a hair on your head will be destroyed, that every follicle will be restored. And precisely through this perseverance will your salvation come, will your security come. This is formation we consistently need. You know, when you join the military, they train you for situations of war. You may never need to use the skills that are being taught, but you're being trained nevertheless. In New England, during football season, we all know what Bill Belichick, the coach of the New England Patriots, does for his players. He prepares them for so many different eventualities, and they may only end up using 10 to 20% of their playbook. But if the circumstances arise, they're ready. They've been prepared. And Jesus is seeking to do the exact same thing for us, so that if today is a day in which we are persecuted or betrayed or experience a little bit of hate for our fidelity to him, and we are now being called haters because we defend him in everyone, and we defend that greatest of all creations made in his image and likeness, which is marriage and family made to reflect the communion of persons who is God. We will be hated, but nothing will be definitively lost, and we'll be in this trial not only that we will give witness to him, but that he will save us. This type of perseverance is a lens by which we can analyze, frankly, what the hell is going on in the first reading today. Stress on the word hell, because it was really quite diabolical what was occurring. Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, gave a banquet for 1,000 of his lords, their wives, and so many courtiers. It was a party for several thousand people. They had stolen 54,000 chalices from the temple, and they brought thousands of them in so that everybody sacrilegiously could just get drunk with what was supposed to be vessels for God's worship. And even though he seemed so secure, surrounded by everyone, including his military officials, as soon as God sent this hand and wrist straight out of the Adams family to start writing on the wall, in I think one of the greatest lines in sacred scripture, his face blanched, his thoughts terrified him, his hip joints shook, his knees knocked. Just want Daniel to say what his teeth were doing at the very time, how constricted were his pupils. I mean, there are so many other things that he could do. He was about to make a puddle all over his royal floor. He wasn't secure at all. And much like King Herod later, he makes this extraordinary promise out of his fear. To Daniel, I will make you third in my kingdom. I will dress you in the most opulent way possible. But Daniel couldn't be bribed. Daniel, when he was brought in before a governor and a king, was prepared to give witness. I will read for you the writing, O king, and tell you what it means. And he first starts with the why before he gets to the what. The why for all of this is you have rebelled against the Lord of heaven, You brought the vessels of his temple before you so that everyone might drink wine from them and that this would lead to idolatry. We remember the image of yesterday. Gold head, silver torso, bronze, peritoneum, iron upper legs, and iron and clay lower legs and feet, so that you might praise the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood and stone, false gods. They were already giving in to Bacchus in their drunken feast. But you didn't glorify God in whose hand is your life, breath, and the whole course of your life. So he sent you this hand and this wrist. And there were three words constantly being written on the wall. Mene, what does mene mean? Mene means payment in full. Means everything's complete. These were three weights of coins, monetary. Mene means that everything's been fulfilled. God has numbered your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, which means 1/60th of a mene. Very small, light as a feather, insubstantial. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and there's nothing there. Holiness is kadosh in Hebrew, which means heavy. It means weighty. And he was the exact opposite. There was nothing there. Perez, which is half a mene. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And that very night, during this banquet, Darius and his troops would come in, take over the kingdom, and kill Belshazzar. He was the Old Testament version of that man who built grain bins, foolishly thinking that he would be able to enjoy them, but not knowing that that very night his life would be demanded of him. So what's the lesson for us? Belshazzar wasn't persevering. He really wasn't even starting to seek the Lord. We're not going to bring in vessels from Old Testament sacrifices. But what we are is something more valuable to God than a golden chalice. We are not just a vessel in which God's sacrifice might be made. We're a temple of God. And much like Belshazzar, we can forget the immediacy of glorifying God as we prayed in the passage from Daniel, which took the place of a responsorial psalm today. We can forget that there will be a fulfillment, that we can't weigh as light as a feather, that when we're serving God and serving some other, small g God, that divided kingdom will not be able to stand. So it's in the present in which we start to analyze just where are we going, what are we doing, whom are we worshiping, how are we living, are we giving that testimony? Because it's now that we give God glory and eternal praise. Today, we come to Mass. And I don't believe that God's going to send a hand to write on the wall. But he's going to say very clearly what he wants of us. He's inscribed it in the Word of God. And now instead of saying Mene, Tekel, and Perez, he says the wise man will build his house on the rock of my word. He says, this is my body. This is the chalice of my blood given for you. May this divine gift help us today with urgency to give him glory and eternal praise that is his due. Because it's through perseverance in glorifying and praising God that we will be saved and come with the martyrs and all the saints to praise him.